Welcome to All the Tea Podcasts. I'm your host, Teodora. Today on ATT, we have a special guest, Michelle.
Hi.
She's going to be answering some questions about the novel, A Wrinkle in Time. Today's whole episode is on A Wrinkle in Time. Enjoy! First off, we have some questions. First question, why did you choose this book?
I chose this book to read because I thought it would be interesting, and I've heard so many good things about this novel.
Great answer. I heard some really nice things about this novel as well. Who's your favorite character?
My favorite character is Charles Wallace. I like him the most because he's so smart and so young. He's also so fun in the book.
Nice answer. Charles Wallace is a very nice young man. Next question. What's the book's genre?
The book's genre is sci-fi. I know this because of certain examples in the book. It's the Tesseract and the Lab.
Nice examples. Here's a little bit about the author. Madeline L'Engle was born November 29, 1918. She was a fantastic writer. She was American and was born in New York City. She wrote tons of books. For example, A Wrinkle in Time and its sequels. Her works reflect both her Christian faith and her strong interest in science. Sadly, she passed away on September 7, 2007, at the age of 88 in Litchfield, Connecticut, U.S. Here's a summary about the novel, too. In the novel A Wrinkle in Time, a girl named Meg and her younger brother Charles Wallace go on an adventure to find her father that has gone missing. Meg and her brother don't go on this adventure alone, though. She has the help of her friend Calvin and the three Misses, Mrs. Who, and Mrs. Witch. This group of six people go through some tough obstacles, but they don't give up and continue to try to find Mr. Murray, Meg, and Charles Wallace's father. Now here's our celebrity reader reading some of Chapter 9, It.
Chapter 9, It. Meg rushed at the man imprisoned in the column, but as she reached what seemed to be the open door, she was hurled back as though she had crashed into a brick wall. Calvin caught her. "It's just transparent like glass, this time," he told her. "We can't go through it." Meg was so sick and dizzy from the impact that she could not answer. For a moment, she was afraid that she would throw up or faint. Charles Wallace laughed again, the laugh that was not his own, and it was this that saved her. For once, more anger overcame her pain and fear. Charles Wallace, her own real, dear Charles Wallace, never laughed at her when she hurt herself. Instead, his arms would go quickly around her neck and he would press his soft cheeks against hers in loving comfort. But the demon Charles Wallace snickered. She turned away from him and looked again at the man in the column. "Oh, father," she whispered longingly, but the man in the column did not move to look at her. The horn-rimmed glasses, which always seemed so much a part of him, were gone, and the expression of his eyes was turned inward. As though he were deep in thought, he had grown a beard, and the silky brown was shot with gray. His hair, too, had not been cut. It wasn't just the overlong hair of the man in the snapshot at Cape Canaveral. It was pushed back from his high forehead and fell softly almost to his shoulders so that he looked like someone in another century or a shipwrecked sailor. But there was no question, despite the change in him, that he was her father, her own beloved father. "My, he looks a mess, doesn't he?" Charles Wallace said and sniggered. Meg swung on him with sick rage. "Charles, that's father, father, so what?" Meg turned away from him and held out her arms to the man in the column. "He doesn't see us, Meg," Calvin said gently. Why? "I think it's sort of like those little peepholes they have in apartments in the front doors," Calvin explained. "You know, from inside you can look through and see everything, and from outside you can't see anything at all. We can see him, but he can't see us." Charles, Meg pleaded, let me in to Father. Why? Charles asked placidly. Meg remembered that when they were in the room with the man with red eyes, she had knocked Charles Wallace back into himself when she tackled him and his head cracked to the floor, so she hurled herself at him. But before she could reach him, his fist shot out and punched her hard in the stomach. She gasped for breath. Sickly, she turned away from her brother, back to the transparent wall. There was the cell. There was the column with her father inside. Although she could see him, although she was almost close enough to touch him, he seemed farther away than he had been when she had pointed him out to Calvin in the picture on the piano. He stood there quietly, as though frozen in a column of ice, an expression of suffering and endurance on his face that pierced into her heart like an arrow. You say you want to help Father? Charles Wallace's voice came from behind her, with no emotion whatsoever. Yes, don't you? Meg demanded, swinging around and glaring at him. But of course, this is why we are here. Then what do we do? Meg tried to keep the frustration out of her voice, trying to sound as drained of feeling as Charles, but nevertheless ending on a squeak. You must do as I have done. Into it, Charles said. No.
Thank you, Michelle, for reading that part of the book. Now, to end off, here are some more questions. Fourth question. Do you prefer the book or the movie?
I prefer the book because I like how much more descriptive the book is than the movie.
Me too. I enjoyed the book much more than the movie. Question number five. If you were your own missus, what would your power be?
If I was my own missus, I would want the power of reading people's minds, and I would want to be able to turn into a flying creature.
That's so cool. Out of Mrs. Who, Mrs. Which, and Mrs. What's It, who is your favorite?
I like Mrs. Who the most because she's very smart and really nice to everyone. I love how she quotes lots of people.
I like that too. Nice answer. Here's a big thanks to Michelle for being here today. I really appreciate it. Don't forget to come next week for another juicy podcast. Alrighty, see you next time. Bye!